Hello, my name is Dr. David Michaels. I'm Assistant Secretary of Labor for OSHA. I've been a proud member of this section since 1977, and I've learned so much from you, my fellow members. You've shaped my thinking, which I hope is reflected in the policies and practices of OSHA today. We're a small section, but we've always punched above our weight. We're extraordinarily active in shaping association policy, and we have at least three active members who served as APHA president: Tony Robbins, Barry Levy, and Linda Murray. At these annual meetings and through members of this section, I've had the opportunity to work with and learn from some of the giants in occupational safety and health: Tony Mazzocchi, Herb Abrams, Lauren Kerr, to name just three. The 100th anniversary of the section is a great time to look back at where we've been and to get some perspective on where we're going. You know, we've made great progress since 100 years ago, when there was carnage in the workplace. BLS estimates that in 1913, there were 23,000 fatal injuries in the year, or 61 per 100,000 workers. Right now, we're somewhere between 3 and 4 per 100,000 workers. Injuries have also dropped enormously, but we still have a tremendous challenge. Every day, 12 workers are killed on the job. 12 deaths a day is 12 deaths too many. And millions of workers are injured on the job every year. Exposure to some of the most pernicious chemicals has been controlled. When we think about exposure to asbestos or benzene, there's a whole lot less than there was in the past. But there are still other exposures, like silica, that have not been adequately controlled. When we look back at the struggle for safe workplaces, we can see that many of the same debates and disputes keep returning, and there are some real lessons we can learn. The first is that the widespread belief, certainly widespread among employers, that most injuries are the fault of workers if they just acted more safely, is a belief we have to oppose. It's amazing to me there are still safety experts who subscribe to Herbert Heinrich's formulation from the 1930s that 88% of injuries are caused by unsafe acts by workers. This is a pernicious formulation, and if you follow it, it lets employers off the hook. It says they don't have to eliminate hazards. It's the worker's fault. Of course, Heinrich's formula was proven wrong by studies done long before he even wrote it. In 1919, the Bureau of Labor Statistics completed a study on injuries in the steel industry. They looked at this very issue and they concluded, and this is a quote, "It may be said that if personal carelessness could be entirely eliminated, the effect upon the number of fatal and serious accidents would not be great, so long as the engineering defects are left unchanged." But these same dangerous ideas are still alive. I recently attended a major safety conference where, along with thousands of other attendees, I heard a very powerful theatrical presentation by a former worker who described his experience recovering from a truly horrendous injury he suffered while working in an oil refinery. "The injury was his fault," he explained. "He didn't follow procedures. He didn't wear his personal protective equipment. He left his vehicle running while he was doing maintenance work, providing the ignition source for a fire that burned him terribly. He blamed himself for the injury and its devastating impact on his family." Many people in the audience were crying, and his impassioned plea for workers to learn from his experience and take responsibility for their own safety earned him 2 standing ovations. And he was followed by a well-known psychologist and behavioral safety expert who stressed the importance of emotional appeal in convincing workers to work safely. You know, as I listened to these two speakers, I couldn't help thinking about the lessons we learned from a disaster at another oil refinery. And those lessons could not be more different. Many of us in the safety community will never forget when the BP facility in Texas City, Texas exploded. Again, a running vehicle provided the spark that ignited a hydrocarbon vapor cloud, killing 15 workers and injuring scores more. The initial report from BP of the cause of the explosion sounded like it came directly from those two speakers: operator error. If the workers had only followed procedures. But OSHA's inspection and subsequent investigations by both the Chemical Safety Board and BP itself found those reports were wrong. The explosion was attributable to numerous organizational failings of BP management. BP acknowledged this and began to change their management systems as a result. But we need to thoroughly expunge the idea that worker mistakes are at the heart of injury causation. And it can be done. Look at airplane safety or nuclear reactor safety. We need to build safety where hazards are controlled, where mistakes don't lead to injuries and deaths. They know this in the airplane industry. They know this in the nuclear reactor industry. We have to bring that lesson to every workplace in the United States today. The second lesson, standards make a difference. They're normative. Employers want to follow the law. To bring up the floor, they make a big difference. We issue standards, they're game changers. Things change without OSHA having to go into workplaces. But every time we propose a standard, we see the same response by the business community. This dates back to the Triangle Shirtwaist fire. After the fire, businesses fought proposals for mandatory sprinkler laws. Now, fortunately, the government moved forward. We have mandatory sprinkler laws. It saved thousands of lives. But when OSHA proposed a new regulation to control vinyl chloride in the early 1970s, after cases of a very rare cancer, angiosarcoma of the liver, were seen among workers exposed to vinyl chloride monomer, the industry's response was the same. And this is a quote from what they put out. They said that the proposed standard was medically unnecessary, technologically unfeasible, and would lead to the loss of as many as 2.2 million jobs. Now, OSHA went ahead and issued a standard, and we know, of course, there was no loss of jobs. The brilliant, innovative engineers in our chemical industry figured out how to make polyvinyl chloride without losing the feedstock. It actually led to more profit on the industry's part and not a single loss of a job. OSHA's bloodborne pathogen standard is similar. 20 years ago, we heard, or more than 20 years ago now, we heard from dentists that forcing them to wear gloves would destroy the practice of dentistry. Now, when was the last time a dentist stuck their hand in your mouth when they weren't wearing gloves? We recently asked for nominations of standards that are currently in place that we should retract or change in a major way. And essentially, the answer we got from all across industry was the same. Don't change anything. We issue a standard. It's normative. People embrace it. No one wants to go backward. This tells us we must work harder and harder to get common sense regulations in place. The third point is that we are continually learning that levels of chemical exposures that we once thought were safe may in fact be hazardous. Again, we've made great progress, and some of the toxic exposures associated with the largest impacts have been much better controlled. Asbestos exposure, benzene exposure. But as we learn more, we see that there are effects at lower and lower levels. And this is true for lead. This is true for silica. Recent studies from China have shown there is significant disease risk for workers exposed to benzene at levels below our current standard. And for silica, there's a new study that shows that there's increased lung cancer risk at levels even below our proposed standard. So controlling chemical hazards is challenging. It will continue to be challenging. It's been our focus for activities over the last century, and it must continue. But this is an area where we're caught in the past. Chemical by chemical standard setting, issuing occupational exposure levels for each chemical, this doesn't work, and we need to rethink our approach to this issue, and we're asking for your help doing that. Finally, protecting workers has always been a huge challenge, and we need to acknowledge that. In 1906, a book was published about worker safety that dramatically changed public health policy and no doubt prevented thousands of deaths. But it did very little to improve working conditions. That book, of course, was The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. Sinclair's objective was to write a book about working conditions, but the public read the book and they saw the scandalous ways that the meatpacking industry produced food, and the public was outraged. The book led directly to congressional passage of the Food and Drug Act. To Sinclair's dismay, the horrendous working conditions didn't outrage the public at all. As he put it, "I aimed at the public's heart, and by accident, I hit it in the stomach." Now, that hasn't changed much today. You go into the supermarket, and you could see that many consumers, they want to buy free-range chicken and cage-free eggs, and they're willing to pay more for that. Now, NIOSH recently completed a health hazard evaluation at a chicken processing plant in South Carolina, and they found that more than 40% of the workers at that plant had signs of carpal tunnel syndrome. We need to change the conversation. We need Americans to start caring as much for the health of workers as we do for the health of chickens. We have to do that together. Now, the American workplace has changed dramatically over the last 100 years and will continue to change. Many of the hazards that workers face today are different than they were 50 or 100 years ago. And even the very structure of employment relationships is very different than it was in the past. But the constant is that workers face hazards that threaten their limbs, their lungs, their lives. And I know that members of this section will continue doing heroic work, doing our best to ensure that every worker can finish their shift without being injured or exposed to workplace hazards. Thank you very much.